the Doctor.
It's clobbering time.
Engage.
Shazam!
Chevron 7, lock.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Kawabunga.
Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum. That is right. We are here once again. Issue 35. What are you grunting over there for,
man? Sorry, man. I'm just trying to stretch. I didn't mean to interrupt your intro there. Just go on.
It's okay, man.
Nothing happened.
I was making sure you're okay. So, folks, here we are. Issue 35. Heroes Asylum. Of course, there is Captain and Kane, like always. We are recovering from a fun weekend, actually. We had our first ever movie watch along with a third participant. We had the mighty Steve-O join us
for that. Was a lot of fun.
That was so much fun. Yeah, we on October, I've already talked about this before, we're going to do, you know, doing a kind of a retrospect for Star Wars, and we're breaking down everything, and Kane and I by ourselves have already done the prequels, and Steve is one of our gung-ho, you know, stand right by our side to Star Wars fans. You know, he's been there from the beginning. I think it was one of me and Steve-O's first like interest that we, you know, clicked on, and so we brought him in to join us for a, you know, watch along for Star Wars: A New Hope. So that will be dropping late October. So
yeah, I think late October, mid October, around there.
Hopefully, Steve-O seemed to have a lot of fun, so maybe we'll be able to get to have him join us for some watch alongs, and maybe even that empty chair that's sitting over there.
Maybe,
you know, I've told everybody that's it's a rotating chair. Anybody wants to step in there for a couple of weeks, jump in, man. We're here. We're gonna be here regardless.
Yeah, we're here every Sunday, so you know that chair has just been, you know, just collecting dust right now. So.
That's right. Yeah, it's got all my shirts and stuff on it right now. So
yeah, I can see all your shirts on.
But you know, it's been a pretty, you know, chilled weekend. Like I said, we did that. I went over to the first ever Kaiser SuperCon this weekend. Really small event, just starting off, but really a bunch of cool guys over there. It was hosted or sponsored by Dark Horse, so got some cool stuff from Dark Horse. But yeah, I'm just trying to check out all the little cons that are going around, finding these places that Kane and I can end up going. You know, once we hopefully in the 2020 is looking like the new year for us, and hopefully we're going to get out there and start meeting people a little bit more and spreading the disease, as Queensryche would say.
That's a nice one. It's a
deep cut.
That's a very deep cut from Operation Mindcrime. Great album, by the way. So just Queensryche. Good stuff.
Yeah, so what we're going to do, we're going to hop in here. It's been a kind of a weird week. We're going to kind of free flow right now. We got some news, some rumors. We are changing the flow of the news, and this is, you know, I'm going to, you know, behind the scenes thing, I'm going to admit to this. I haven't been a big fan of the rumors because I think some of them have been silly. But Kane was talking to me about it, and he kind of made a good point that, you know, it is kind of still news, even though they are rumors. So what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to weed out the silly rumors and like maybe the really cool ones that could be like, you know, a good like 80% possibility.
Yeah, like if you hear a rumor that Kevin Smith is going to be the next Batman, I think that's one that we would know.
Yeah, we're not gonna cover that one, but we're gonna start doing more news and rumors during the admissions ward. So hopefully that'll add a little more flavor to it. And so what we're gonna do on this one? So we're gonna go ahead and jump right in.
News from the admissions ward.
All right, folks, so we are here in the admissions ward. I'm going to go ahead and let Kane take this one over, man.
Breaking news. This just in.
Do I have my breaking news butt sound?
No, you don't have that. We have to get that one eventually.
We don't, know.
Breaking news.
Hold on, there you go. Does that work?
That's perfect.
There we go, breaking news. So stay straight from the Empire.
Thank you, Lord Vader. Breaking news, this just in. Marvel Netflix characters will return. They're returning, but they're going to be returning to FX. Now, this is purely speculation, rumor hunt. This comes from the Nerd Village, and I will go as quoted. Mikey Sutton has posted about the Marvel characters returning back to our screens via FX. He goes on to say that Daredevil and crew will be returning when the 2-year wait period expires to FX because Disney wants all their channels to be interconnected with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They want the shows to continue being gritty and will pick up new episodes while also purchasing previous episodes from Netflix, because they're also going to do the shows to binge-able on Hulu. So that would be hurting Netflix in the long run, but they're going to keep everything interconnected. That is the latest thing. Doesn't say anything about cast, but it says that Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and doesn't say anything about the Defenders.
Well, I think the Defenders was just like a one-off anyways.
Okay.
From what I had read when they came out, they were like, we're just doing it a one-off, kind of getting everybody together. But that's cool. I mean, I thought deep down when I started hearing about Marvel doing the Hulu, Moon Knight and Miss Marvel and She-Hulk were going to be Hulu mm-hmm. shows. I was wondering if Hulu would try to attach and grab those old shows. But that's great that they're going to try to bring everybody back in. I think that'll be pretty freaking cool. So that way, because that was a lot of the anger that'll quell some of that anger.
It was kind of silly just watching the shows knowing that they're all going to be canceled. So it was kind of heartbreaking, especially Daredevil. That was a great season 3. So.
I mean, I didn't even bother watching any of the Jessica Jones, because I'm like, why? But now that it sounds like they're going to be completing it, I might as well finish it up on Netflix then and see where it goes.
Yeah, apparently it says 2 years, because I guess they have to wait till the contract when Netflix is ending, and I guess that's when it ends, and they can officially move it over to FX, and they can begin again. And then I guess what it sounds like, they're going to keep the same tone, which is good.
Yeah.
Doesn't say anything about casting, so hopefully they keep the cast. I mean, I think the cast was one of the strongest parts of all three shows, to be honest. I mean, except for Iron Fist, that was not... But
I'm one of those ones. I enjoyed Iron Fist. I know it wasn't exactly what we wanted from because of the comics, and we didn't see the Iron Fist. But again, that's joking. I always joke about it. It's like, I'm okay with foreplay. I don't need that. I don't need that final that thing that I'm dying for in the third issue or episode. Mm-hmm. I can take it and wait till the end of the first season. Mm-hmm. But I still enjoyed Iron Fist. But I'm one of those weird ones. I freaking enjoyed Last Action Hero. So
Last Action Hero is a classic.
It's classic, but some people call it a classic piece of shit.
Some people crap on that movie. I love that movie. That movie is all sorts of good. So many good references to everything in that movie. And I never understood the hate for that movie, but going forward. But I guess we have something to look forward to in a couple of years.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Mike, what do you got?
My first one, actually, another rumor mill came through. It's come through from several sources. We've got this covered. Screen Rant has said it. So it's not I'm going to go break it off of, it's probably not so much a rumor, but we have heard that MCU is being sort of taken over by J.J. Abrams. He has signed with Warner Media to basically kind of run in and start helping out the MCU, as well as James Gunn. I guess he's been part of that, especially because of the Suicide Squad. Definitely he's already involved in that right now, because they're in the middle of casting and getting pre-production done.
I guess, isn't the casting done? Then they
That is one of our, that's going to be one of our ones that I think we're going to talk about here during this.
Oh, sorry, did I step on your toes?
No, that's okay. No,
but, bad, rewind. So.
I'm kind of on the fence with JJ doing this. JJ is really great. He's done some good things for some series, but then there's some things that he just doesn't treat right.
Well, the big thing with JJ is always that he starts off something really good and then he just leaves it and expects somebody else to finish it. He's never been a finisher. He's gonna be closing out, 9 movies come December, so that's gonna be his first real big test.
Yeah.
And now you have him and Gunn, I guess supposedly going to be heading up to DC with Hamada. I mean, it's interesting. They're both great creative minds.
They
both
are definitely.
Both really good directors in their own right. They both can write scripts, but as far as heading up a studio, that's
the only thing I'm worried about.
That's
going to
be a different beast. I don't know. I mean, that's...
But the thing is he's not going to be starting. From everything I've read... They're going to continue, Wonder Woman's still going to be there. Suicide Squad's still going to be there. The world that is already there, they're just sort of forgetting about, and I'm using my hand quotes, sorry folks. But they're going to be just kind of forgetting about Superman and Batman and just bringing in the Reeves Batman.
Which is kind of odd.
Yeah.
That's very odd. I mean, I know they've used him more than enough times that we care to mention. I mean, tons of times. That's their main staples of Warner Brothers is Superman and Batman. But to just totally ignore them and be like, no, we're going to do Supergirl now. I'm like, that's just like out of nowhere. And like, what? Hey, you have a great Superman right here and in the prime of his life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
and then,
just.
Then they were talking, I think, also with the bigger one, I think, was Batgirl was like a really big one. That was
yeah,
from Josh.
Yeah, it was Whedon. That was for a long time that was connected with him. And I guess after Justice League came out, everybody realized that that might be.
Yeah. Well, I think Justice League fell into the same problem as Solo. It started with two people. Or it started with one person, and the second person finished it up. Same thing if you look back into the, you look back, you know, go further back, you know, to the 80s when Superman 2 rolled out. You know, it was Hal Donner, and then I can't remember the gentleman that finished it up. But you had problems, and I think that's what happens when you pass on a project that the second person just isn't dedicated to and isn't, dialed into because he wasn't there to drop the seeds and be there in the infancy of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's just handed a half, half done, project and go ahead and wrap that up. So he still has to figure out the rhythm and everything that the original guy. So I think that's really where that fell apart on both of those. And like I said, I use Solo and Justice League as kind of a prime example of those just kind of falling apart. I think there was stuff there and it was good, looking great. And then just the finished product just wasn't there for him.
It's funny in the this new DCU universe that they have done, like, all their solo movies have been fine, but anything with the team-up movies like Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad, or Justice League, the studio just meddles in with them so much that they either, like, they lose the director's vision along the way, or they just cut it and slice it so much that the movie that was shot is no longer the case. And I find that kind of odd. Like, in the team-up movies, they just metal, and the solo films, they just let the directors direct. It's kind of odd.
Yeah, it is, yeah. So. Yeah. Well, since we did kind of mention Suicide Squad or The Suicide Squad, that's going to be confusing because the first one was called Suicide Squad. This one's called The Suicide Squad. Nah. They couldn't come up with something better. They just had to throw the in front of it. But yeah, you were saying the cast has come out. Some names I recognize, some names I don't. I think you're better on the names for the actors than I am.
Yeah.
You hold in there pretty good. I mean, we do know, obviously, Margot Robbie was going to be in here. Idris Elba. And I think they actually,
is Elba's playing Deathstroke? Deadshot?
No, he is playing, hold on, I had a breakdown of, like, the main ones.
Okay.
Where was it? Just jumped around on me. Sorry, Elba will fit the role of Bronze Tiger, is who he was. That's the one I had always heard, which I was cool with that. We had, and I'm going to butcher that last name. Is it David Dasmalchian?
Dave Dasmalchian.
Melchian, thank you very much. He'll play Polka Dot Man.
I'll tell you what, great choice, by the way. I like Dave Dasmalchian a lot.
Yeah, no, me too. I was like, okay, it's interesting. This, I think, more Polka Dot Man was more the interesting choice.
If you ever get a chance to watch the, I think it's Flash season 5, I think it's 4, I think it's 4, where he plays, who does he play? He plays a magician, I forgot. It was like he plays some sort of magician character that was really kind of hokey, but he made him kind of cool. I have to look it up, but in The Flash, he played like a villain. And it was a magician type of character. And I can't think. Abracadabra. He played Abracadabra. That's it. He played Abracadabra. Thank you, Mike. Or thank me. He played Abracadabra, and I thought his version was really cool the way they did it. And overall, he was just so good. And having him in DC World again, actually, he's if you think about it, he's kind of like the Psycho Pirate. He was in The Dark Knight. He was one of the cops in The Dark Knight. So that's where he began his career as a small little part, and it's grown. I'm glad. He's a good actor. To see him as Polka Dot Man be very interesting because Polka Dot Man is very lame. So
yeah. Well, then you look at the rest of them. You have we're going to have King Shark, which that's Steve Agee. We already had announced that weeks ago. Elba again, Melchior.
Was it Melchior?
Yeah, let me see. I'm trying to get the first name. Sorry, I'm bouncing back and forth between two pages here, and the one page I'm reading about Daniela Melchior. I don't know on that one. I have to do a quick look, but yeah, that one they're going to be playing Ratcatcher.
Ratcatcher.
Yeah. Then you got John Cena's going to be in there, and
who the hell is John Cena going to play?
Peacemaker. So, yeah, there's some, again, this is perfect in James Gunn's style. I mean, if you think what he did with Guardians of the Galaxy, taking nobodies in all, really all regards, you know, other than Drax. I mean, really, if you think Drax and Gamora were really the only two somebodies in Guardians, the others were, you know, iffy. I mean, especially with the, you know, the route they were choosing to take, you know, doing the Infinity, you know, Stone storylines, you know, the you needed Drax, you needed Gamora. Definitely. But yeah, no, that's
it's a very diverse cast.
Yeah, and that's just the ones that they have guaranteed or said, you know, this is a hard rumor, or not hard rumor, but like those rumors are pretty much, you know, guaranteed. It's the other ones that are weird. We're going to have Taika Waititi is going to be in there. You have Fula Borg, from Pitch Perfect 2. I watched Pitch Perfect 1. I can't say about the second one.
Yeah, I've actually watched Pitch Perfect 3, so pretty good movie.
You have A Wrinkle in Time. Storm Reed is going to be on there.
Oh, the little girl. She's going to be in it. Yeah, she's really good.
Fireflies, Nathan Fillion. You know, we got to love Nathan.
You know what
I love?
I heard
you go ahead. I know what you're going to say.
And I don't know if it's I don't think it's real, because, you know, it makes too much sense to me. But when I was listening to Fat Man Beyond, I'm sorry, Kevin Smith mentioned him playing Green Lantern, and I think
that was Kevin's wish. I know it probably won't
happen, but just the idea, and like I thought about it, yeah, for say, like, man, that does make a lot of sense. I mean,
it does, yeah. So yeah, definitely. But yeah, no, I think it was more Kevin's fanboy wishing than anything else, because he's a fan of the DC universe like we are, and Nathan's a great voice for Green Lantern, you know, just like whenever we talk about the Red Hood, Jason Eccles, he's got the perfect voice, because we remember
but I think he's getting a little bit too old now, yeah. So I think that's yeah.
Then we also have Doctor Who alumni Peter Capaldi.
Peter Capaldi, the 12th Doctor himself. Yeah,
he's in here as well. And the one thing that will probably ruin the movie for me from Saturday Night Live, Mr. Pete Davidson.
Why is he in this movie? Yeah, I think he's just going to be for like cameo. I mean, just
I'm hoping that's all it is, like for like a little comedy thing. Yeah,
yeah, he'll be like a little comic relief, and then, you know, Harley Quinn will kill him, I hope. I mean, just this questionable casting at that point.
But. Now, I am happy to see that they are bringing back Viola Davis for Amanda Waller. Yeah. It is they're doing a Joel Kinnaman. For Rick Flagg.
Rick Flagg's
and Captain Boomerang, Jay Courtney.
I like Jay Courtney as Captain Boomerang. I thought he was okay.
So, I mean, we do have returning ones. So they're going to have to acknowledge, hey, first one happened. Because that was the one thing I heard in the back, you know, when this first started rolling out, was this isn't going to be attached at all. But
really? I mean, it kind of has to, doesn't it? Like, tangentially?
I don't know.
You can literally say that, hey, you know, the first Task Force X, you know, just didn't really work out. They're back in prison, or some of them died, because...
Well, yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah,
you that's pretty much what they're going to do.
That's fine. My
name. But that was the one thing, because I think when this first was announced, there was a lot of talk of separation. Okay, we need to separate the old DC from the new.
Yeah, but you don't need to do too much. I mean...
I agree with you. I'm just letting you know that's the rumor I heard, was that they were going to separate. And I agreed with you. I was like, they don't need to.
Aquaman, at the beginning of Aquaman, when Mirich basically saves Arthur and his dad, and she mentions, hey, you know, you were the one who helped us save the world from Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
That was the only reference you got.
The only reference,
you can do it like that going forward if you want to get away from that part of the universe. If you want to rebuild, just do like little slight hints. Like, we're not idiots.
Yes.
We do remember these movies existed, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. The rumor coming from DC was they wanted to cut themselves from the old, because everything was so tainted from it. But again, they've, like you said, they did the drop in Aquaman. They did it in Shazam with Superman, you know, cameoing in the last, you know, 2 minutes of the movie. And now with this, they are showing that they are connected. But Amanda Waller ain't awesome. I'm so happy they kept her.
She was so good as Waller.
Harley's line, "Are you the devil?" was the best line of that movie.
Yeah, because that's basically what she is. And she was so good.
So perfect, yeah. And that's why I was so happy when I read it, when I was reading over this list. I'm like, thank God they're bringing her back.
Yeah, she was one of the strong points. So. Yeah. And I don't think Margot Robbie's going to have a huge role, by the way. I think she's just going to have like a, Not a cameo, but I would say like a more of a secondary role.
Yeah, I wonder if this is going to kind of tie into
Birds of Prey.
So. They may explain that why she goes away and where Birds of Prey comes in. Because I hear, I don't know which, I think it's I hear Birds of Prey will have Joker, not this one. And so I'm kind of wondering if that's if they're that because that'd be perfect way to just tie in. You know, hey, she's not the next Suicide Squad. We decide to do Margot's not there because she went to finish do this or whatever.
Like I said, there's a lot of cool ways you can to connect everything together. It doesn't have to be like you don't have to like basically say, hey, we messed up on everything. That movies don't exist at all. No, you can connect it in a way. So.
Who was Vince McMahon made the best comment during the Monday Night Wars, and people were always like, are you checking out Nitro? Are you checking out WCW? No, I don't acknowledge them. They don't exist. And that's when your mistakes, especially in the movie world, when your mistakes happen, don't acknowledge them. Move forward. Yeah. So what do you have next? Sorry, I had to throw in a WWE reference.
It's okay. we could go on with that casting forever. What I got here is rumor. Guess what? Tony Stark's not dead. Actually, Tony Stark will be returning for the Black Widow movie, apparently. Which makes sense, because apparently from what I read in the timeline, the Black Widow movie takes place after Civil War. So Tony is still alive. So it'll be nice to see Robert Downey again.
I don't think
you'll see him as Iron Man. Maybe not. I think you'll see him more as Tony Stark, like maybe giving some advice to Nat or lending her some technology or something. But it'll be nice to see him again, even if it's going to be for a small limited role.
Yeah, and then you and I were talking about that, but I hear he's returning also for Ironheart as well. I know that's still in a very infancy, in the infancy, but I think Ironheart's going to be more like a voice, more like it's going to be. Yeah, I think it's going to be more like an AI where it's going to be like Friday was to him, but it'll be,
Well, we've talked about that before. Like that's the way for him to live on in the MCU. Just make him an AI.
Yeah, just turn him into Jarvis, basically.
I mean, he just goes in for 20 minutes of work in the studio. I mean, he's still got that contract. You do it.
Yep. I mean, he's still contracted. Yeah, he's still in contract with him. He just, he's doing voices. He's doing the voices during the What If series. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not that we're losing him, Robert, completely, but just there's no future for Iron Man,
Yeah, his story's done. His arc is done. So it's just what happens when he's done. He just, go to the sidelines, consultant, background, music, Hey, it'll be nice to see him again, though.
Perfect. So, what I have next, I actually have this again, a rumor mill. This one's a Cosmic Book News. There's a rumor with, we do know the Fantastic Four. We do know X-Men. We know what's coming down the pike. Not this phase. Next phase, we're gonna be getting them, but there is rumor, especially with Fantastic Four, you can't have Fantastic Four without one of their biggest villains, Doctor Doom, Victor Von Doom. You have to have him, and there's a rumor that kind of peaked up, and I haven't gotten a full spot on, but I think this would be an awesome to have Doom and Galactus, but to play Doom, Viggo Mortensen from the Lord of the Rings. I think he would be great. He's older, which he should be. I didn't like in the other Fantastic Fours that they were at that same age. To me, Doom is older. He's bit more bitter about things. He is the ruler of his country, and he's a little bit angrier about things. And I think that would be perfect, especially in this MCU.
I think he would definitely work as a good actor. I can see the gravitas of him doing Doom, and exactly, you want him to be a little bit older in age. I've always liked the older, because when they were doing the Fantastic Four movies of the past, they always had Reed and Victor kind of younger.
Yeah.
In that last movie, they were way young, and the 10 story ones, they were young. So it's just like, I like the older versions. I like, they've been around for a while. They know what the hell they're doing. Their rivalry has gone back from, it started in college. It started at the job they were working at, which I forgot, the lab. I don't think they were working at the Baxter Building together. I think it was another corporation they were working for. But, I've always enjoyed older versions of characters. Like, you don't necessarily have to have everybody young and 18 and 19 and so spry.
No.
You got to have that experience level. Like, they're a little bit more seasoned. So, the hearing Viggo might do it, I'm totally down. He's a great actor. Watch History of Violence.
Yep.
It's a great movie, and he's fantastic in it. So, Viggo in there, I hope so.
Speaking of a comic book movie right there, History of Violence.
Yeah, History of Violence.
Yeah.
It's another good one.
And Viggo was actually up for a Marvel role already.
Really?
And he didn't get it. He was up for the role for Doctor Strange. But Cumberbatch knocked it out of the park, did it a little bit better, and so...
I can't see him as Strange.
I can't either now. Maybe then. I think Cumberbatch is so ingrained in our brains right now. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about Joaquin when Joaquin was vying for the Strange role. It's like, I can't even see Joaquin as Doctor Strange now. It's just like... Benedict did it so good,
flawlessly.
It's just like, I can't see anybody else. Like, I can't see Joaquin. I can't see Nathan Fillion. I can't see Viggo as Doctor Strange now. It's just like, I can't see it. I mean, it's funny those guys were up for that single role. So I just find that fascinating. But
yeah, and I mean, if you also think about it, yeah, like when they show some of the old, test footage for Star Wars, and you see these different actors being Carrie Fisher. Or you know, being Princess Leia and being Harrison, or Han Solo, you now can't see anybody in there. I mean, if you go back, you see Jodie Foster trying out for Princess Leia. God, I'm trying to remember who else. There was like a bunch of like famous young actresses at that time trying out, and they don't have it. And then when you see Carrie, she has it, and that's the same thing. Nobody else can play that role. You know, they can't. They just whenever like they did for. For Rogue One, they brought in and they did the CGI. Yeah. That's the only way it can be done anymore,
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You are right on the head, sir.
So what do you have next, sir?
What do I have next? What do I got here, Mike? Hold on. I just lost my train of thought. I think that was the only two that I had.
So the only two you had?
Okay. Yeah, because there wasn't too much stuff I had this week.
All right.
Well, we can kind of... back to you.
Yeah, well, so go ahead. I got two more left here, actually. I want to stick into the Marvel universe. Marvel Cinematic Universe has wins at the 2019 Saturn Awards. If anybody's interested in any of the award shows, I'm really not, but I thought this was really cool because Saturn's is a kind of lower level to the Oscars, but it's still something to show you what's coming down the pike. You had Best Comic 2 Motion Picture Release, Avengers Endgame, Best Actor in a Film, Robert Downey Jr. for Endgame, Best Supporting Actor in a Film, Josh Brolin, Best Supporting Actress in a Film. You got Zendaya, which I thought was kind of interesting for Spider-Man Far From Home.
Zendaya,
yeah. Best Performance by a Younger Actor, Spider-Man, Tom Holland. Best Film Production Design, Charles Wood for Avengers Endgame. Yeah. Best Film Editing, Jeffrey Ford, Matthew Schmidt, sorry, I'm butchering that, and Avengers Endgame. Best Film Makeup, we had, on there as well. Best Film, Special, and Visual Effects, Endgame. Best Streaming Superhero TV Series. What would you think that would be?
Now, did it come out last year or did it come out this
year? 2019. Okay. This just was now. So usually they do that kind of that year rolling. So you think a year ago, what was going on? Marvel. We're still in the Marvel world, but streaming for Marvel.
Streaming. Best Effects.
No, that was, what was the wording on that? That was Best Streaming Superhero TV Series. Daredevil. It went like, yep, sir, Daredevil won, yep. So, even though it's dead, it's still alive and kicking.
they gotta bring that back.
Yeah, they do. That and that and Punisher. And I was a huge fan. I don't know about you, but man, big fan. I love Luke Cage, man.
I love Luke Cage. It's just the...
Not just the story, but the music behind it.
The music is great.
Went out and bought the soundtrack for Luke Cage because of just the music. I discovered a bunch of artists I never even heard of by watching that. Charles Bradley. Amazing, amazing. Like a James Brown-style performer.
A lot of jazzy tunes on there, too. Just awesome.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of like the old Cotton Club days from like the
20s. Yes.
That's what that music reminded me of. And that's why I love that vibe of Luke Cage. I mean... some of the things they did with the villain in the second half of the first season were kind of hokey, but overall, Luke Cage as a character and the whole series as a whole, I thought was pretty solid. I thought season two was really good as well. Kind of was kind of upped its game from season one with Bushmaster.
Yeah. So my last one for the admissions award, and this one you and I kind of had I won't say heated conversation, but we were talking about it. I think it was more heated because we were in a loud bar when we were having the talk, was Marvel, and this is coming from MCU Cosmic, and this is not just from them. I've seen this also in a couple other ones, but rumor is Marvel is considering doing changing some things up with Professor X and Magneto in the MCU. You know, X-Men will not show up in the MCU for a very long time, according to Kevin. But they are kind of brainstorming about what to do. And there are rumors of race changing Charles and Magneto. And if anybody has ever listened to the podcast, ever seen what I talk about on Facebook, see some of the things I post, I'm adamantly against gender bending and race bending characters when they have a bucket full of amazing people or characters to use, instead of taking an original one and changing it to fit whatever subgenre of culture they want to represent. Create one or use one you guys already have, because to me, I think it's a slap in the face to a female, you know, to the female actor that's going to be taking over normally be a male role. It's kind of a hand-me-down to me, I would think, for that person. That's kind of why I feel that way. I think it taints what that character is and what that actor is portraying. I think if they reached it into their goodie bag and pulled out, you know, another character, I definitely see it. But in my opinion, I know Kane's itching over there right now, but in my opinion, I kind of do agree with doing this, because one of my arguments with Kane for a very long time when we were talking about the MCU and then bringing over the X-Men was, my biggest thing was their history. Their history about the time that they were around is a big part of what they are. You know, Magneto being a Holocaust survivor, that's a big part of who he is. Them being in the 60s, being around the Jim Crow, the race, you know, the civil rights movements and things like that. That was all about who they were. And you can't have a Holocaust survivor right now, not in today's age, because he would be 90 years old, 80, 90 years, you know, years old. That's not a very dangerous person. Sorry, no offense to any 89-year-olds that are listening. But, you know, a more, you know, dangerous type of individual would be somebody younger. And that's why I do agree with them doing a change on this to make – I could definitely see a black Magneto. And I know Kane's got some more to say on this about, you know, why he would kind of maybe probably agree on this, you know, further because of the X-Men's origins. But I think that would be good to have, you know, a Magneto – maybe turn Magneto black. I don't think Xavier needs to really be black, but Magneto could be just being a survivor, like I said, of the civil rights movement and the Jim Crow era South.
I think you're right on the head. I think I agree with everything you just said. I mean, the characters that Stanley created of Professor X and Magneto were based on Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. And yeah, they don't necessarily both have to be black. You can make one of them black, one of them white. You can make, you know, Magneto probably be the first cat. I heard Denzel Washington's name.
Yes, there, yeah, he is up
which,
there.
Which I think would be perfect. And then if you wanted to make the white guy, let's... who's it? Who could we use? Viggo Mortensen. You know what? Why not? You can make it Viggo Mortensen. And you can make him basically like, hey, you know what? On one side, this former Magneto, he's like, hey, it's all about, you know, our time. It's our time to rise up and to rise against. And he could be the one like, hey, I understand where you're coming from, but let's do it this way, the more of the peaceful manner. That's always been the relationship in comics, TV, movies. I think that's been the big thread line that has gone through all the X-Men phases. It's been their relationship.
Yeah, and that they've been friends, and then the one political thing that they have, and I can relate. I've got friends that are on the other side of that spectrum, you know, and we avoid those conversations because we don't want to ruin that. But
yeah,
because
they're touchy for a lot of people. It depends.
But,
like,
but those conversations aren't life changing to us as being and being on the other side of the line. I can see it being more important. So.
Yeah, I mean, look, if they're going to do it that way, I think it makes sense. And make them older. Yeah. I don't mind them older. That's fine.
No, they need to be older.
Yeah, it's like that thing I've gone back to, and I think we'll talk about it in Titans, is that I don't mind versions of them being older. It's like you have that grizzled feel. They've been through a lot of stuff. They're going to teach other people. They're seasoned. That's what makes them good. They're seasoned. They've been around. They've seen stuff.
I mean, so I liked First Class for that, for what they were. It was the birthing of them. That was perfect. But now, if you're going to, because you're going to want not just Charles and Magneto's relationship, but you're going to want to see, you know, Cyclops, Jean. Obviously, we're going to see Wolverine because, you know, that's their big moneymaker. You're going to want to see them in their 20s and 30s, not Wolverine, obviously,
which
but
is
the others.
Fine.
You know?
I mean, that doesn't bother
me. Yeah, that's fine. You know, in the 30s is fine. Even the 20s is fine. But the teaching roles usually, you know, end up, you know, traditionally are the older ones. And I think that just, it needs to be there, and to make it matter for, like I was saying beforehand, for them to have a reason to not trust people, to not trust the government, to match in this day and age, Jim Crow, the civil rights movements, that's going to fit perfectly, because we really haven't had much since then.
No, you know, not really. Nothing
like that.
Nothing.
You know, the Holocaust. I mean, we've had our, you know, some riots. You know, I mean, you could probably throw him in that. You know, he was, you know, from L.A. You know, he was a gangbanger from L.A. and was around during the Rodney King riots.
Or you can make him a survivor of the Watts riots. I mean, there's a lot of things you can.
But that's just
from
one moment in time. When, you know, I talk about Jim Crow and you talk about, you know, the civil rights movements. That's over decades and decades. Mm-hmm. So that would be something that would be more ingrained. Like I said, like the Holocaust would be ingrained, like in Magneto was.
Yeah, and for the time with the Holocaust, it worked. But now, like you said, you gotta change that origin, just tweak it a little bit now, because, you know, it's like you said, if you're gonna use a Holocaust survivor, they're basically 100 years old, so it doesn't really fit. So,
yep.
You know, I'm totally for this, and hopefully, you know, you cast it well, and hopefully, we'll be seeing the X-Men pretty soon.
Very good. All right, folks. Well, that is it for the admissions ward.
Fantastic.
Yes. So now we're going to talk. This is something I want to start doing because there are new shows starting now, and I'd like to start doing a review segment. And we're right now the only thing that's really popping and that's coming out that we can catch right at the beginning of a season or at the beginning of the show right now is Titans. When Mandalorian starts rolling out, when, you know, the Marvel on Disney Plus starts rolling out, that will fit into this here segment here. We don't have a name for it yet, but right now, you know, just, you know, the heroes, the asylum, you know, TV room, we'll call it, whatever.
I like that.
So we're going to just drop down and just do quick reviews. We're not going to spoil everything. I mean, unless there's something like mind-blowing, holy crap, but we're just going to do a breakdown of the episode, what we think. Do you think you need to watch it? And just, you know, just kind of keep building around that. And hopefully have more shows as things come along. I'm actually wanting to start watching. I know it's slowly, it's been going, but I want to drop Pennyworth in this.
You know what? You are like the fifth person who's told me about Pennyworth. And that's another shows that when I heard about it, I'm like, no, I don't care.
I don't
want to
see it either,
Alfred,
but I want to watch.
I
want to
see him. But from what I've heard, it's basically 60s type of spy drama. And I'm like,
That's what it looks like, and that's why I want to watch it. I was like, I'm going
to
start watching it. Yeah,
maybe
so
tonight
we can,
I'll start watching.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe we'll drop that one next week. We'll talk the new Titans on Friday, and then, you know, next week we'll, you know, Kane and I'll throw in Pennyworth, and then build up as the season, the big season, the Disney
countdown
to
crisis,
no,
man. It's
God.
A countdown to crisis. That's...
Like I told you, I'm already planning to take off November 11th for Disney Plus launch day. I'm taking the day off because I want to watch Mandalorian, and then I want to just destroy the library and see what they have.
It'd be fascinating what they're going to drop that day.
Well, I've heard. I mean, I know there's. I guess I could have gone into the asylum or the admissions ward, but I've heard that they are finally dropping all. They have said that they are dropping all the Marvel animated. So the shit that we grew up in, the Spider-Mans, the Iron Mans from the 80s, the 90s X-Men, the great 90s X-Men.
Spider-Man is amazing, friends. That's the one I want to watch.
All of them. They're going to have the Avengers from the 80s. I mean, they're going to have them all. And the one you and I were talking about last week, they are dropping Gargoyles.
Ah, yes. So, perfect.
It's not the new one. Let's hope. Yeah, crossing our fingers. Hopefully that'll get out there. People will see, oh my God, they're downloading this Gargoyles thing like crazy. What is this? Let's make something about it. So
yeah, come on. Come on, guys. Alan Horn, get on it.
Yeah. Yep. You only got a little, you know, the voice actors are still around. So
yeah,
take advantage of them.
Keith David wants to do it, so just do it.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, we're just do a breakdown of Rose, season two, Titans. My opinion, I thought this was an amazing episode. Takes place, like what I was even kind of my, what I thought about last week was, I think, you know, I said, you know, episode two of season two will be truly the launching point for season two. And that's kind of what it was.
Yeah.
Takes place 3 months, I think it said.
Yeah, it was 3 months later.
Yeah, and it's great that you see everybody kind of separated, settled into their own lives, and something comes along that just shakes it up, and they all have to regroup together. But just watching everybody on their own, seeing Corey and Donna working together, you know, basically being, you know, detective buddies. You know, it was almost like they were doing a buddy cop, you know, show by themselves.
I would totally watch that show.
I would
totally watch that show with Donna Troy and Starfire. I mean, that was cool.
Yeah,
just they were just kicking ass and basically beating up a low level DC villain. If you don't know who Shimmer is, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, that was a good pull on that one. And just watching, because really they were the only two that had superhero action.
Yeah,
if you really think about it, you know, Donna pulled out her lasso, and you know,
Corey did her thing. Man,
Corey did her thing. Did the clothesline from hell on him and.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
that was some WWE style when she threw the lasso on Shimmer and just pulled her in, and then Corey does that close. I'm like, Bradshaw.
Yeah, and Corey looks good. I like they've changed her hair a little bit. Yeah, she's not like you said. I know that was your bigger from last season was the outfit and the hair.
I did not like the way she looked, but this season, like you said, they have plussed her up. So
yeah, and it's still not Starfire, but it's not what it was last season. Last season was just obnoxious. I think.
Yeah, I did not like her last season. I think this season she's a little bit more settled into the character and just, you know, now she's just doing her own thing. Now I actually kind of like her.
Yeah. And it was cool to see Donna in there. They threw an Easter egg of Roy. You know, they
big Easter egg. Yeah, just like right in your face.
And you know, and honestly, to me, I was like, I don't care if I see him. That was cool.
You don't have to see him. It just reminds you, hey, they're part of a bigger world. So
and again, like I think I was telling you about it was I didn't know. I mean, I kind of knew there was a team beforehand, but that really shows more that they're there. They're still there for each other, but they're just not, you know, the Titans anymore.
Yeah, I kind of like the fact that there was a Titans before them. I dug that. Like, some people have a problem with it. I don't. It just shows like, oh, okay, the Titans were around for a while, and now he's just getting them back aboard again with these new Titans. It's fine. It's really fine. I don't mind it. And just, you know, and adds to the legacy of the Titans, you know, even further.
Yep. They had, you know, we get to see them training, which I thought was kind of cool, watching Beast Boy and Jason get along. And when I say Jason, I do mean Jason Todd. I'm not going to say his whole fucking name every time. Jason was
it's
doing
just
a,
Jason. We, you know who it is by now. Yeah. Right, Bruce?
You see him training. Yeah, Bruce. God, mm-hmm. You see them training. You do see Raven and Dick's relationship growing. Thought that was kind of interesting.
Because in the comics and in the series, they were really not that close.
Yeah,
it was more him and Starfire, but in this way they have like the big brother little sister type of thing.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
yeah.
I kind of dig that. That's fine.
Yep. And then you get to see. And I hate the fact. It's one of those catch-22s with me. I hate the fact that Jason's growing on me because he's not supposed to grow on you.
He is growing on me.
He's really good, and I don't want him to because it's just. I know what they're trying to do. They're wanting to probably make a different story for Jason than what we're known, you know him for, to make him likable, because in the comic books, he was not likable when he, you know, literally people, if nobody knows, Jason Todd died in the 80s because the fans voted him to die. There was two 800 numbers. You called one to keep him alive. You called another to kill him. And guess what? People wanted to kill him.
Yep. So that was our generation that wanted Jason Todd.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
our fault.
Sorry about that. Yeah. But that's what I mean. It's like one of those. I don't know if they want to. I think they're trying to make him nicer and more likable. And I do like the kid.
I'll tell you, the first time when I saw him last year in the first episode, which was entitled Jason Todd, by the way, in case you forget who he is. And I think I texted you. I was like, you know what? It's Jason Todd. But I don't mind it.
Right.
He's obnoxious. Yeah. He's cocky. He's arrogant. I get it. And then he had moments, if you saw that episode last year, of like bending the rules a little bit, which will lead to something later on. But I like him. I like him. It's like, as much as I hate Damian Wayne, I love this Jason Todd that they're portraying on Titans right now.
Yeah, and I told you this, I think last night you and I were talking about it. I was like, I see hints of Damian. In Jason right now, like, I see that little bit of that training scene. I was like, "Ooh, is that Damian in there?"
That training scene was one of my favorite moments of the episode to me.
Yeah, that was just the watching the camaraderie, seeing them get along. That there's tension between Beast Boy and Jason, but they want to train each other. You know, they want to work with each other, but there's still that little brotherly, you know, back and forth competition.
That and the moments with Dick afterwards where he's like, look, and Dick, it just shows that Dick is a badass, by the way. How he just took them down, took his weapons off. And then the conversation that he had with Jason afterwards, like, he's just saying, he's like, and Jason's saying, hey, can I go back to Gotham now? He's like, you're not ready yet.
Yep.
He's like, when am I going to be ready? And then he just, and then while Jason's trying to be a dick to him, he says, like, look, man, you have a lot of experience. You can help us. You can teach these guys. You have to be a leader. And I was like, that is such like a Dick Grayson. And it shows where, you know, where he got the, his training from, obviously from Bruce. He was more Bruce than Bruce.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And I mean, that's, again, that's one of the reasons why I'm a big fan of Dick Grayson, because he's, if you, you know, like something we've always talked about, and I think on one of our very first episodes, we talked about this. I always see Dick Grayson as, in Nightwing, as there's more Nightwing than actually Dick, but Nightwing as the amalgamy of Superman and Batman. He's got the skills, the detective, but he's got the heart more of Superman and Clark than of Batman. You know, there. So he's got that, and he's always been that perfect leader. That's why he's always been the leader of, you know, of the Titans.
The Justice League.
Yeah, I was gonna throw Justice League in there. Yeah, but you know, he's that born leader. He's been trained by two of the three, you know, of the three, you know,
the Holy Trinity, man. He's
so. And then, of course, Bruce. I still not sold on him as Bruce Wayne. When I watch it, I feel like I'm watching Alfred, and it's not because of how he looks. I mean, some of it's I'd say 2% about it is how he looks. It's his, how he discusses or talks to him. He sounds more of an Alfred than more of a Batman or a Bruce.
I don't know. I think he's, I mean, except for the one moment, which I felt when Dick is calling him from a burner phone, he doesn't know who it is. Bruce would know who that is. He would pick up the phone and say, hey, Dick, what's going on? What do you need? And he was like, it shouldn't be like, I'm Bruce Wayne. Like,
he shouldn't have answered the phone.
He should have never answered. Like, Bruce Wayne would never answer the phone. Like, I'm Bruce Wayne. I mean, this show seems to love to you know, call your first and last name. I mean, like, it's cool. It's a little tiresome. Hopefully they fix that up. It's really annoying. But
yeah,
other than that, I like the fact that when you see Bruce Wayne in the manor, in the library, he's on the computer, it's late at night. He's studying some Japanese type of fighting style.
Was that at night that he called? I thought it was during the day for some reason.
Was it at night?
Okay.
Yeah, because he said, you know, I knew you were going to be up.
Oh, okay.
Remember that? And he kind of name dropped that. I just like the fact that he doesn't sleep and he's always working. Like, he's always working on stuff. And I don't know what that Japanese lettering was, but it looked kind of cool. I was like, see, that's what Bruce would be doing. That's why, like, he does things that piss me off. But then he'll do things like, okay, that's Bruce. That's Bruce Wayne, right?
Yeah. Now. It just, like I said, yeah, there's certain things about it, and again, like I said, one small part is just his build. He doesn't look like a Batman, or what a Batman would look like. Yes, Bruce doesn't look that, isn't supposed to, you know, look as ripped as Batman is when he's in the suit, but he doesn't even really look even close to that, so that was another one that throws me off. But I'm still working with it, and I love the fact that they dropped him in here. I thought we weren't going to see him again until I think you said there is a Batman or Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I think it's episode 3, I believe it's called Bruce Wayne.
I didn't think we'd see it until then, but it was kind of cool that he little nugget, he was in there. So
he'll be there still, throughout the season, I think. Which you'll I see like him in spots, great. which I dig. They're using him right.
Yep. So and then of course, I don't know about you, but I found it amusing that that Jason was using the bat computer to look up porn too, apparently.
I just like the fact that they call him out on his shit, like, you know, why are you here? Like, oh, you, because you were basically, you take the Batmobile for joyrides and you ride your motorcycle in Wayne Manor. I'm like, why do you think you're here?
Yeah,
he's like, and, he's and like,
you
oh,
look
just
up
do
you
it.
Look up what do you say you, and you look up inappropriate websites on the
yeah
on the back
that
computer.
Was great. I was like, oh man, they're making me like this kid. I don't like it.
If either one of us was a Robin, that's probably what we'd use about.
Let's see what's on here. That's what I like about it. They're making him like more relatable to guys like us or kids. It's like, literally, if you're that age, you're Robin, you know how to fight, what would you be doing? I'll probably be doing the same exact thing. Like, he's excited at being a sidekick. He's excited at being a hero. I mean,
well, especially you think of Jason as a kid from the street, too. You know, if you go really back to what he is, you know, Dick Grayson was raised in the circus, and so he had that rudimentary, you know, the training and everything. So he was already kind of used to that, but Jason wasn't. Jason was all over the streets and running around doing whatever the heck he wanted. Mm-hmm. And you see that in there, and I guess in the way he you know, approaches it.
Yeah, so I dug that. And then I guess eventually after that, we see Rose.
Yep.
We see this girl on the run, kicking ass, cops can't beat her. She has the patch over the eye, which is a nice touch, yep. by the way. Very nice touch.
The patch and the hair.
Which is perfect. And then we find out she gets unconscious. She lands in Titan Tower, which that is Titan Tower. You're not going to see the giant tea. Yeah. I'm sorry. If you're expecting a giant tea this season, you will only see it the way that Captain Mike have discussed. If the building blows up, and it'll be in the shape of the tea, a.k.a. Avengers 1. So. Yep.
But, just before it falls apart.
Yeah, just before she used that little egg going up there. But, she's in Titan Tower. She wakes up. She talks to Dick. Doesn't want to stay there. Doesn't really force her. That's where we get the phone call with him and Bruce and how to deal with that. You know, how did you deal with me? I love the banter between this Dick and Bruce on the phone, especially, like, Dick's asking Bruce, would you do it the same way? He's like, I would do everything the same way. He's like, I'm not going to apologize for it. Like, you had to be raised this way. Like, it's like, you have to do this girl differently.
And yeah, that was the one thing that was definitely Bruce. That comment was definitely Bruce.
That's why I like that. So, and then later on in the episode, I think we're going to go back to the beginning because I think we missed this. I think you're going to kick yourself for missing
it. I wasn't going to do
it.
That's what I was trying not to do.
We missed the intro of Dr. Light. We get Dr. Light in this episode escaping, I guess it might be Blackgate or Arkham, I don't know. Probably Blackgate. And I thought the way they made this Dr. Light, way more threatening than the one they had in The Flash. Way more threatening, especially the way the kid dies. Then the one kid shows up where Hawk and Dove are at in the farm in Wyoming. Who knows why they're in a farm, I don't care, but they're coming back to Titan Tower. I like their dynamic, especially Dove. You know, she's basically, hey, you know, we quit Titans, we're done. But she's still going out, doing her thing, stopping meth labs, which I thought was kind of cool, especially in Wyoming. You know, Wyoming has meth labs. Who knew? So just a lot of cool little nuggets there. And just seeing Hawk and Dove, I never really was a Hawk and Dove fan. But I think the version they're showing us in the show is just really, really grounded and really, really cool.
Yes, yes. And the rest... You finally actually. The one thing I kind of liked is you never really saw Slade in this until like the last end, like 30 seconds.
And it was
because Dick was refusing to find out who she was. You know, because he's like, I can find out who you are, but I want you to tell me who you are. Mm-hmm. And it was like he was putting it off, and I guess he just kind of the kids went above his head. Like from the way it looked for me, you know, and the only one that knew who he was. Was Jason.
Jason, man.
And
it's
the
just
look
like
on his face was like, ah, shit.
Yeah, did you... The look on his face, like, it basically ended the episode. It was a short episode, by the way. It was only 40 minutes, which kind of pissed me off. But the way it ended, he's like, who... Oh, it's Rose Wilson. And then he's like, Rose Wilson. And then he goes up. He's like, oh, who's her father? And then you see it. Slade Wilson. Deathstroke. And that's how it ends. And the look on his face is like, uh-oh.
Yeah, he knew. Yeah,
right
off the bat, which I thought was pretty good. So, but yeah, it felt even shorter than 40 minutes, honestly. I got done, and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, because I wanted more. I was like, more. No, more. Like, yeah, you can't leave me like this.
Yeah, there's very few shows that literally will leave me hanging like that to, like, I need more, and this one definitely did.
This is going to be the case, I think, with Season 2 of Titans. I think it's going to eclipse Season 1, because Season 1, you know, you have these established and the Titans. I mean, when you and I heard that they were making a Titan series, we were pumped up. Like, oh my God, Titans. But they had to go through the intro process, which is always long and very mundane sometimes. And Season 1 kind of, to me, you know, looking back at it, kind of dragged a little bit because they were introducing Trigon and Trigon's followers. And then you didn't really see Trigon until the last episode. And then we saw Trigon opening this season, which basically was the end of the last season. I think this season is going to be a little bit more fluid.
Yeah, I think they were just trying to find their feet. They're trying to find their footing on, mm-hmm. on how to work with these characters. Now these guys have worked with them for about a year now, mm-hmm. So it's not just the story writer, the writers, but it's also the actors are now comfortable with their.
And you can see it. They're comfy with what they're doing right now. It's so good, and I'm looking more and more forward to the season as it goes along.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So what we're going to move on to, since that is Titans, we're going to go ahead and jump into one of our new segments. We're going to jump into Legends of the Long Box.
Legends of the Long Box.
All right, folks. So, Legends this week. I have actually been doing some power reading throughout the week.
Yeah, at least one of us has.
So I'm going to go ahead. I'm just going to kind of run do my quick one. I'm not going to go over everything. I've got four reads, picks for the week. Check them out. They just came out on Wednesday, so they're fresh. Grab them. I'm trying to stay up to date instead of talking about some old storylines. I'm trying to get it to where I'm talking about new stuff that just rolled out. First one, excuse me, that is up is Absolute Carnage. They are doing a big story arc with Absolute Carnage. And basically what Carnage is trying to do in Absolute Carnage is he is going around and collecting the Venom essence or the symbiote essence out of anybody that has ever been a host to a symbiote. And that could be anybody from, from Peter Parker to, to anybody that's ever had it, if they even touched the symbiote at one point. And this one actually is Absolute Carnage, Symbiote of Vengeance, number one. And this actually focuses around Alexandra Jones, who is one of the Ghost Riders. And she at one point was a host to one of the symbiotes. I'm trying to remember which one it was. Oh, shoot, I didn't write it down. But Carnage goes and finds her and is trying to take what little essence she still has of it. And unfortunately, doing this ends up killing the host. So there's constant battles going on. Cool thing about this one is you have Alexandra Jones fighting. You have Kenny Ketch, who's also a Ghost Rider, one of the newer ones. He's kind of battling with being a Ghost Rider. And then you actually get to see Johnny in here, which is kind of cool. Johnny has now, and I've been away from Ghost Rider for a while, but Johnny's now basically the King of Hell. So he can't do too much to help out, but he's able to help Danny, find where Alexandra is. And the chaos ensues, of course, with Carnage. But it's a fun raid. It was really surprisingly one of my better, my fun raids. I thought it was kind of cool mixing in the Ghost Rider and Carnage in there. And it was also at one of the last panels on there, you get to see in hell all the former Ghost Riders. This big spread on one page of just all these former Ghost Riders.
That sounds really cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, that was, it's a Symbiote of Vengeance, number one. The other one, one of the other ones is King Thor, number one.
That'd be fascinating. How is that one?
That is actually kind of interesting. It's basically taking place way in the future. Thor is Allfather now. Aged down, big old beard, looks like Zeus, but it's definitely Thor. And Loki, of course, still,
Where is Odin? Is Odin dead?
Odin's dead now. Yeah, okay, this is okay. Like I said, Thor is old, gray. He has three daughters right now. So it's kind of a mix of Thor and Loki battling, but also where his three daughters fall into what's going on. Right now, the nine realms have all been destroyed except for three. Even Earth has been destroyed. Thor has rehabitated or put people back into Earth, but we're basically cavemen here. So it's a very interesting story taking place in the future. Great artwork on this one. I've seen some of the
covers and panels. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
Wow. Especially they made, and you're right, they do make Thor like an old man Zeus.
Big old beard.
Yeah.
But he's still kicking ass. He's trying to take down Loki. Loki has absorbed some new power.
So doesn't he get the power from the Butcher? The Black
Butcher? The Butcher. And he's worse than he's ever been. As far as trying to put him down. Next one is Batman 78, number 78. This one's an interesting one. It's my only DC one on here, by the way. I follows Bruce and Selina kind of on vacation, but also in training. I guess this is after Bruce got his butt beat again by Bane for in the City of Bane storyline. And Selina's trying to get him refocused. And, they're out fighting on the beach, trying to get everything, him back up, and he's just holding back. He's not full again. So it's her trying to help out, but also you're watching their relationship too. It's a different Batman story. It's weird because he takes the persona of who is it? Matches Malone.
That's one of his.
He takes it. So when they're at the resort where they're training in this deserted island, it's on a resort island kind of thing, but they train all away from everybody. But when he's there, he's basically rocking the 70s porn stash, you know, glued on. And you see their moments back and forth. The only thing I thought that was weird about this is they were supposed to be on this island training, but they're training out on the beach in their Batman and Catwoman suits.
That's strange.
They're going out in the ocean and climbing rocks in their suits.
That's going to be hot as hell. Especially.
I know. I was like, man, this makes – like if you're out there and you're trying to train but still be undercover – you're not going to go walk around on the beach in your bat suit, are you? You're going to throw on your bat speedo instead, not your full suit.
You know. And if you're Adam West, you put the shorts over the bat suit.
Exactly. So it was just kind of odd, but it was still a fun story to read and watch their kind of the relationship. And then the final one, and the reason I left this one for final, because this is one I have been looking forward to since they announced it coming out. Star Wars has started three series right now. One is Age of the Resistance, Age of the Rebellion, and I think – I'm trying to remember the third one. It's taking place like in the prequels, but Age of Rebellion takes place during the first three, four, five, and six, the New Hope Empire. It's just side stories on that, focusing on characters that we really haven't focused on. Age of Resistance takes place now, focusing on Poe and Rey. Well, Rey's not yet. Rey's next month. But, you know, just focusing on Poe and in Hux, and just like they just one issue about them. This one is Snoke. And of course, you know, we're all Star Wars fans and we're always like, who's Snoke? What is Snoke? You know, how does he fit into this? And I thought we were going to get something sort of from this. No, we didn't get nothing.
Still nothing, huh?
No. It basically just shows Snoke and Kylo training, which I thought this was kind of cool, training on Dagobah.
Really?
Snoke took him to the cave. And there he had to train and go against whatever, you know, just like Yoda said, you know, whatever you bring into that cave is what you're going to, you know, fight against. And that's basically what happened. But he walks in there, he goes against Luke. And when he thinks he's done, he starts walking out, and all of a sudden, Leia and Han show up. And there's this, you know, this moment of what should he do? And Snoke's sitting outside, just like when Yoda was, you know, kind of listening into the cave, going, "I know he's going to do the right thing. He's going to change." I think this story was more about Kylo's indecision about what he really is, because he's always had that thing where you don't know if he's bad or really bad or not.
Yeah, he's always been conflicted, so, you know.
And this kind of shows that, because you don't see it, but you see Han and Leia there in the cave, and he's like battling, and Snoke's out there going, yes, yes. All of a sudden, you see the tree that's above the cave explode, and he comes out. So you don't know, did he kill them, or did he just stomp what was the power of this place? And Snoke's like, I need that. I wanted that for other apprentices. And Kylo's like, you don't need another apprentice. So it's like one of those, you're not sure did he just go full bad, or did he like, you know what, I can't do it, but I'm going to stop this from happening. So it was very interesting. It was, like I said, it was more about Kylo than Snoke. But you have more moments with Snoke. So I guess in a way I got a little bit of what I wanted, but not really. I wanted more of a history. So hopefully this is number one, and hopefully they'll help do some more here and there, but I've seen most of these are just like one-offs right now. And that's pretty much it right now. I mean, DC, I really don't do much on DC right now, because DC's doing the Year of the Villain story arc, and it's a hit or miss. Some issues are like, wow, that's amazing, and then the other ones, I just can't get the groove for it. I think 2 weeks ago there was a big one that was like all the villains, you know, like a villain bar or something like that. That one was kind of fun. And then I read another one, I think Riddler was this week. And it just didn't hit the spot. So yeah, it's kind of a hit or miss on that. So this one was definitely heavy Marvel.
Yeah, I can tell you've never been a lot big on Marvel.
No, which I'm surprised. Yeah. I was really surprised when I got done. I looked at my list. I'm like, damn, I've been like, I burned through some Marvel, but DC just wasn't catching me. So hopefully next week, hopefully because I know we have to finish it. They're getting ready to wrap up the City of Bane. So hopefully that'll bring some good ones in. And then I know Leviathan's still hanging out there.
Yeah, wrapping up. Omnipresent and stuff. So
yeah, so hopefully something big will come around.
I'm sure it always does. You know,
but right now, Carnage. Right, if anybody's going to ask me anything,
so what would you suggest? Check out Carnage and Thor.
Check out the Absolute Carnage and Thor. Thor was okay. Fun. Yeah. Yep.
My two for this week, because I only have two. Sorry, Josh, I didn't get to go out to Acme this week. My bad. But I'm continuing the run of Lucifer, issue 11. And basically, now we've kind of have a coherent story going. The story is of Skyrax, who is a powerful witch, Caliban, who is the son of Skyrax, and the son of Lucifer. Basically, Lucifer got it on with a witch and created this hybrid being of half-witch, half-angel, you would think. But it's not really like that. Basically, Caliban is like full, is almost like a very demonic form, kind of deformed and stuff like that. And the whole thing is Lucifer is going to the different underworlds in Egyptian mythology. He just went to, he saw, I believe it was Osiris, and basically saying, hey, you know, when this soul comes down, because apparently Skyrax is going to die. The forces of heaven are going to kill her, but she's on this island right now where heaven cannot find her. It's basically cloaked from all kind of like ancestral type of beings. So she's there with some other demons, trying to get her groove on, trying to get off that island, trying to figure a way to, you know, basically save her fate. But Lucifer's going on to all these different underworlds, which I find fantastically interesting. He went to the Indian underworld and met the Indian goddess of death. The next issue after this, issue 12, he's going to the Greek mythology underworld, so that's going to be cool when he meets up with Hades. And basically, this part of the story is of a splinter. Now, this splinter is a part of wood, basically, that's from hell, that if it is used on you, you basically turn demonic. So throughout these issues of issue 11, Caliban has been talking to a cherub. And if you don't know what a cherub is, it's basically a little baby angel. He's like the lowest form of angel. He's fat, he has circly wings and all that. He's basically what Cupid is. And this little Cupid angel has been around Caliban telling him stuff like, hey, you know, you're half Lucifer, so you can be an angel. You don't have to be all grotesque like this. But known to Caliban is that this little cherub was pricked by this this wood particle, which is from a shovel from hell. And basically, when it pricked him, it's basically turning this cherub slowly into a demonic form. So cherub is like, he's becoming more and more like, you know, more of a dick to Caliban. Says, hey, you know what? You're not an angel. You're just a worthless demon, telling him over and over and over again. And finally, Caliban loses his shit at the end of the episode because he too gets pricked by this, you know, part of this shovel, right? And he kills the cherub, just basically tears him apart and eats him. And now he is a full-on demon. Full-on demon now. So what's that mean for the rest of the issues going forward? I don't know. But Lucifer is going from underworld to underworld trying to save his mom. And now Caliban, instead of being in the background just like chilling and seeing what's going to happen, he's full-on demon, full-on rage. So is he going to kill his mom? Is he going to go after Lucifer? We don't know yet. So, but I got to suggest, so far we now have a solid storyline going in issue 11 to 12. So that's my first pick of the week, is Lucifer issue 11. Next one I got is another fun one. Batman, Superman 1. And this basically takes place after the Batman Who Laughs 7-issue miniseries, which I thought was pretty solid. The character of the Batman Who Laughs has always been one of my favorite from the Metal series. I think he's well-constructed. I think the basis of him has always been interesting. You know, you have the intelligence, the fighting style of Batman, but you have the insanity of the Joker, and you just meld them into this one character, and he's basically unstoppable. So basically, this series takes place right after that. It's Batman and Superman. It's basically, and they still have their banter back and forth. You know, Bruce is calling Clark what he is, you know, Soldier Boy and all that stuff. But they're trying to find out, basically, the Batman Who Laughs has left, but he's left his toxin behind. His toxin, which basically turns you to like him, you know, psycho sanity, I guess that was used for the longest time. I don't know if they're going to use that term in this. That's an old Joker term, psychosanity. But yeah, so they find out through the issue that 7 members of the Justice League have been infected with this toxin. They don't know who. They'll find out at the end of this page. But they have to look for clues first. So Batman and Superman looking all over Gotham. Got to find out where it's at. So they go to Crime Alley. And of course, Superman using, saying, hey, there's something beneath that. And what do they find underneath Crime Alley? The Batman Who Laughs Batcave. How fitting. It's underneath Crime Alley. And in there, you find all sorts. You don't find dinosaurs. You don't find the giant coin. No, you don't find any of that stuff because it's much more smaller. But it's basically like the same setup, and he has a lot more, I would say, more savage weapons. Knives, tools, just basically a lot of stuff. And when they go in there, they see these Robin suits of the deformed Robins who went crazy. And then they hear a sound in the cave of another deformed Robin coming after him, fighting back and forth with Superman and Batman. But they think it's Damian. And they keep saying, Damian, stop, Damian, stop. And it's not Damian. It's Billy Batson. And all of a sudden, he says Shazam, and he has been infected with this toxin. The issue ends with basically Shazam who laughs, gripping at Clark's throat and with Batman to the side. Which is basically, I guess, leading to that big view of the villain thing they've been doing in DC the whole year. Some things that are coming up that I want to spoil. But apparently, this is going to tie into something bigger, and as well as into the year of the villain. But I got to say, first issue of this is pretty solid. You know, you're getting another story. It continues that metal vibe. And I guess the Batman who laughs, you know, he's always leaving clues. And, you know, he probably is one of the most formidable opponents, say, the Justice League now have. Is this evil version of Batman and Joker combined, you know, just messing with the heads of the Justice League by turning them slowly, little by little, one by one, into one of him. And if you looked at other comics, they show who those seven are. So that's spoilers if you want to check that out. But those are my two reads for the week. I thought Lucifer was a better issue. But Batman Superman has some promise going forward. So I cannot wait. Because this definitely ties into that year of the villain that we've been talking about so much.
Yeah, there was another Batman or the Batman Who Laughs that run that last week. I didn't get a chance to pick it up. It was like a solo one. It was a special edition. So I wasn't able to, didn't get a chance to read over that one. So that, because I'm a little behind on those. So that's one I'll have to check out.
There's a couple good ones in that run. I would say like out of the seven issues, maybe three of them are really good. The other ones are kind of hokey. There's a one-off of the Grim Knight, which is like the form of the Punisher. You know, I kind of like the wackier versions of Batman. It's like the more demonic and evil.
Yeah. Well, no, I meant the newest ones. I'm not talking about the Dark Knight. I'm talking about like the newer runs. Those I've already done the Metal series and some of those, but no, this is because of the newer series that I've been running for, and this one came out last week, so it's one I didn't get a chance to read, but like I said, because I just haven't been keeping up with Metal or even that run for the Batman Who Laughs. So that is our polls for the week, folks, from Legends of the Long Box. Some news actually dropping. I know it's not a comic book related thing going on, but you know, we did have news of Eddie Money passing away last week. But we just dropped actually right now. Rick Ocasek from The Cars just passed away.
Really?
Yeah, dead. Found in New York City at 75. Yeah, 4 p.m. today. The police were called over to his place. So, yeah, something gets our.
That sucks.
Got to look for our number three here soon, because they all run in threes.
That sucks. Anybody? Yeah, now Rick Ocasek.
Yeah, yep. Our rock idols are dying off slowly, but there
well,
it is.
I wouldn't call Ocasek an idol, but, you know, that's just...
Okay, yeah. Cars were. I mean, you think back, they were a big part of the 80s.
Yeah, they were a huge part of the 80s. It's funny that their biggest hit was from their bass player. Who passed away,
yeah.
I think it was a couple years ago from cancer, and now Rick Ocasek is gone. I can't believe he was that old.
75,
I was always jealous of Ocasek because he married that model, and that's sad. He passed away, so you know, we lost Eddie Money, and now Ocasek. So, you know, rest in peace, and our thoughts and prayers from the Heroes Asylum through their families right
now. Yes. So, folks, that is going to do it for us for Heroes Asylum. Make sure you do check us out on our Heroes Asylum Facebook, or not Facebook page, sorry, our website, which links to our Facebook page. I did post a poll, and I went to go look for it to make sure it was still there. I'm not seeing it. I may go ahead and repost it again. I'm just trying to get a feel, temperature read of who's listening and who's on Facebook and who's doing both. So that way we can kind of like focus our attentions on certain things on Facebook and certain things here on the podcast. So thank you for those that did take the survey.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Much appreciated. So
I know who you are.
Yeah, we know who you are.
But so yeah, definitely go ahead and check those out. And like I said, yeah, everything on our on our website is all of our shows. Our Midnight Movie Review, which we're gonna, I know we've been kind of slacking because we've been doing the Star Wars one, which we're gonna release in a couple weeks. But that's gonna get back up and running again as well.
Just to give a little, I'm gonna give a little spoiler about the recent one we did. It was probably one of the better ones that we did. And I mean that in, like, because a lot of these times, these movie watch-alongs are, like, you know, a lot of times, you know, we don't get what we want from them as far as, like, you know, let's be honest, viewerships, maybe some of the hits or likes, you know, we would like that. I would always suggest it to Captain Mike that this is more for he and I to break down movies and enjoy it. But this one was a little bit more special. And I think if you want to hear one, hear this one, which is coming probably in the middle of October, you'll get a kick out of it. And yeah, you really, look, especially with another dynamic in it, it's really fun. I mean, doing it with Captain Mike is also fun, but having that other third presence in that room and just adding more knowledge, and it's a literal blast. It's kind of like what I envisioned for the Midnight Movie Review to be. It's just, you know, a couple friends just shooting shit, having a good time, talking about movies that we like. So that's really one that I hope you guys, when you get a chance to listen to it, you like and share it, because I think it's one of the better ones that we did.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, yeah, we'll definitely be making the announcements on those. So keep an eye out on those, all right? And like I said, make sure you do check us out on our website. And Kane, where else can we be found?
Well, we are now, of course, as always, on Instagram at The Heroes Asylum and on Twitter at The Heroes Asylum. One of them has an S, one of them has an ES. Just take a look. Our cool logo is there with the little smiley captain guy. And as always, every week, get to the asylum!